Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I just want one commitment from you. When you head to Mars, you won't take Jill. She can be gone too long.
You're making it monthly of defense, man.
The rest of us are here too, pal.
I don't represent Donald Trump, but I do stand for justice.
Don't be a knucklehead and riot.
I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star.
Oh, Ron DeSanctimonious laying it out yesterday. How'd you feel about that when you heard it? Always something new to talk about here, isn't there? Hey, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy that you are with us. And I have to tell you, I just got a text from a Missouri senator, state senator, because they're still... they're earning their money this morning. They're still in session. The Democrats have been filibustering all night long. And no, I'm not going to break into song. They've been at it all night long because they're angry that the state of Missouri wants to restrict the ability of people to, remove and or change body parts on teenage children in the state of Missouri. The attorney general's tried. The Senate has tried. They've got Mike Moon's bill they're hearing right now. The men in women's sports bill. And they're debating. Are you really playing that, Carl?
You said it twice.
I was like, do I hear that?
Nice. Yeah, so anyway, the debate continues at this hour on the floor of the Missouri Senate as the Democrats, apparently Caleb Rowden has been in high-stakes meetings to try to find some way to get around this filibuster. You know, we had Mary Elizabeth Coleman on yesterday just to launch into things here, and she was opposed to the idea of PQing this. She wants to let it kind of work its way out a little bit. Because they could just call for the previous question and vote on it and end the filibuster and then send it back to the House and get it to the governor's desk. See, level heads here, because that I'm just telling you, I would probably PQ them and go to bed. But they're still up. So I just thought I'd let you know that this morning. For all the times we complain that our legislature's not down there working for us, this morning they're still down there working for you.
Well, good.
They didn't end debate.
Well, they just got off of a break, right?
That's so true.
Back to work.
They're well rested. Thank you. He's still alive, isn't he? Didn't he just get an award of some sort?
He's on American Idol.
I thought so.
Every Sunday night.
I don't watch that show, Carl. Come on. How would I know
sports,
he's on American
Idol? You can't escape.
How would I know he's on American Idol?
If you're watching sports, you can't escape the promos.
Okay.
I didn't know he was on American Idol.
Him, Katy Perry, and Luke Bryan.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I don't watch it either.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just, I'm still reading text here from Missouri senators. I'm trying to get him to phone into the show this morning.
Or her,
yeah. But anyway, I figured it would be good to get an update on what's going on. They're staying close to the floor. My only guess is here is that they must be expecting this to end at some point so they can take a vote. Because I remember having in years past Bob Onder on at this hour because they'd been up all night on a but it was at that point it was the Republicans doing the filibustering on something. So this time it's the Democrats who are filibustering unless they thought there was going to be some sort of resolution. I'm not sure why they'd still be there. So I just wanted to throw that out there, let you know what's going on, and let you know that if there's any developments here, we'll bring it to you because it's real time. I'm following the tweets and all that's out of Jeff City this morning as they debate this thing. That's it. Hope you had a great day yesterday. It actually turned out not to be a bad afternoon.
No, it was nice.
Got outside with my grandson and walked around a little bit. It was beautiful out there. It's going to rain, I guess, all day today, just so you know. So batten down the hatches before the show ends. It's going to probably be – we're at least going to go through one batch of rain here from what I can tell on the radar on my crap app, just so you know that. Hold on here. Little live radio. I'm sending the number for my senator to call me. There you go. I don't know when or if that's going to happen.
Okay.
So I've just forwarded the phone number, and if they call in, that's fantastic. So we will. We'll keep an eye on that. I'm just telling you that because Sue Thomas will have your traffic coming up here in a minute. And if the rain starts to fall, you know what's going to happen, right? It's going to be a little bit of...
The city will shut down.
It's going to be a little bit of a mess. It's going to be... Hey, things are heating up, by the way, in the school board elections. Here's the... At the end of the day, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the teachers' unions and all the people on the progressive left are teaming up to scream... Bloody murder. This is the audacity of these people. And this is what really kind of galls me. And this is why I will keep talking about it. And I'll keep reminding you of what we've gone through the past couple of years at the hands of these screaming left progressives who were in charge of our local government and in charge of our schools. They cannot stand the idea of parents having a say because they were convinced that they had achieved their goal of complete and utter control of your child's education. The biggest threat they see in the world right now is you and the candidate of your choice regaining a voice in your schools. And if you have any doubt about that, I would direct you to the St. Louis Post disgrace this morning. I know many of you may not want to admit it, but you do still either read the app or you're borrowing somebody else's login so you can look at it or whatever the case may be. Article yesterday by Blythe Bernard, who not only should no longer be allowed to be a journalist covering education in the Rockwood District because she's so biased in her reporting, but Jack Suntrip. These are two reporters who work for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. They had the audacity to run an article today that says political activism heats up St. Louis suburban school board races. School board races in Missouri are technically nonpartisan, but Republican moves at the local level have changed the election landscape. I want you to let that soak in for a minute. For so many years in this country, the unions have dictated who sits on local school boards, right? It is not a situation any different than what happened with Mike Madigan in the state of Illinois for all of those years. Do you remember when Bruce Rauner was governor over there and the state employees who were negotiating a contract refused to negotiate that contract for the period of time that he was governor, waiting out his term to end because they had every expectation that a Democrat would regain that seat? And then they would get exactly what they wanted in their negotiations. And that's just what happened. It's no different. They vote for the people who will then be in power, who they will then negotiate with the same candidates they supported to get what they wanted, whether it's money or curriculum. It's no different in the state of Missouri. I had to read there, and I focus here a little bit on Rockwood because I happen to live in that district, and I get emails from people, and I see Facebook posts yesterday, most recently from the wife of one of the school board pick candidates, one of the teachers union NEA backed candidates out there. His wife is a teacher in the district, and she's on Facebook, preaching about how wrong we all are and about how wrong we all are by suggesting the teachers unions have any say in curriculum. Listen, I didn't spend 30 years as a television journalist to take something like that at face value. If you tell me you're endorsed by the Missouri NEA or the Missouri State Teachers Association, whatever it happens to be, and they pick your name as a recommended candidate for the school board, you're there to because you support the things they believe in. You can't get away from that. You own that. And if you don't believe me, go to the National Education Association website and enjoy the wokeness. I mean, from diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI to CRT to remote learning to masking in schools, it looks like something right out of the press agency at the White House right now. That's what their website looks like. They are aligned with the hard left progressives in this country. When you go to the Missouri NEA webpage and you click on issues, it redirects you to the NEA website for their position on those issues because that's what they support. So back to my point, you've got a woman who's a teacher in the district whose husband is running for the school board, who's endorsed by the Missouri NEA, who wants to argue that the union does not exert its influence over the school board. Are you kidding me? For even a moment? And yet the Post-Dispatch wants you to believe that because parents have awakened through a variety of reasons to what's going on with their children, that it's Republican political activism that's heating up local school board races. What this article tells me is they're scared. They see you coming on April 4th, and you better get out and vote. And we're going to talk more about it this morning because we've got our Save Our Schools rally coming up. We've got a candidate from the Parkway District is going to join me this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. This is important. I'm glad that they're scared. I'm glad that they put this article out. I'll read more about it coming up. First, though, let's get to our national anthem.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're talking about this situation with, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is that if you have a prosecutor who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years ago to try to use something about porn star hush money payments, you know, that's an example of pursuing a political agenda and weaponizing the office. And I think that that's fundamentally wrong.
Disappointing is how I'll term that response. A little dig, little sanctimony, little dig at Donald Trump about I've never paid hush money to a porn star. I don't know anything about how that works. But, so, never mentions Trump by name. It was pretty simple. And the reason I'm disappointed with Ron DeSantis about that is that I like just about everything he does. But all that needed to be said was what they're doing to Donald Trump is wrong, just like if they were doing it to a Democrat who was running and they were trying to trump up some state charge on them after they've already thrown their hat in the ring for president. It's wrong. That's all he needed to say. But instead, it's what the police would often term shots fired. So you can expect Donald Trump to bring out the heavy artillery on him. But I think a lot of people are going to feel the way I felt. I've heard Pete Hegseth talking about it on Fox last night. That to me was sanctimonious, disappointing, and unnecessary on the part of Ron DeSantis. I was disappointed in that. No doubt about that. Coming up, we'll let you hear from our friend Jesse Jane Duff, but we're also hoping to hear live from a Missouri State Senator where they're still in the middle of a filibuster in Jeff City. We're going to be back in just a minute. All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. A little change of gear here. I wanted you to hear from my friend Jesse Jane Duff that we had on yesterday, but we have a surprise guest live from the floor of the Missouri Senate this morning, and that is Senator Nick Schroer. Senator, good morning to you.
Good morning. It's been a very lively couple hours here in the Missouri Senate.
I couldn't believe you answered my text. I texted him earlier and said, are you still up? And he goes, yeah, I'm on the floor. I'm near the floor, one of the two, because this filibuster by the Democrats who want to preserve the right to go in and mutilate children has been going on all night.
Yeah, this has been going on for a couple weeks now. You know, before we went to our quote-unquote spring break, which I indicated we didn't even need a spring break. Yeah, I mean, we're only in session from January through May. Let us do the people's work. But the Democrats keep standing in the way. First, it was, they wanted to continue their experiments on our minor kids and allow for 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds to have double mastectomies, to chop different parts of their body off, to have different hormone replacements that are going to be irreversible and have consequences for the rest of their lives. And then they switched up the tone today to where we're trying to ensure that women can compete in women's sports and not have to worry about men who didn't do good as a man and now are reverting to jumping into women's sports. So this filibuster continues. The Democrats just came to the floor a little bit ago, I want to say in the 5 o'clock hour, indicating that there is a some negotiations that are taking place that they can live with. So I'm waiting to see what type of negotiations those are, because as of right now, they've been the party of no when it comes to protecting our children in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, I know the political inside of what's going on down there. I know there's some debate among people like Mike Moon and your Senate leader, Caleb Rowden, over this issue. Are you concerned? Can you talk about it that Senator Rowden might give in to the Democrats on some of this stuff?
Well, you know, I've had personal conversations with both of those guys, and I think they're in the same ballpark when it comes to what we need to do, what we want to do to protect our minor children and protect women's sports as well, since that's, you know, a dual conversation. It's just, how do we get there? You know, there's one conversation to end the filibuster and do the nuclear option, quote unquote, right now, which the Democrats could effectively turn and say, okay, well, we're going to kill the budget. We're going to stop the takeover of the St. Louis Police Department. We're going to stop the takeover of the Circuit Attorney's Office. And that's something that we don't want. So we do have to be very strategic. It's just, as of right now, the conversation is when and how do we end this filibuster? Is it going to be by way of negotiation? And, you know, I'm not really convinced. We did this a couple of weeks ago when the Democrats just continued to want to give hormone blockers, cross-sex hormones, puberty blockers to 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds. And it was off the table to say, no, we're totally banning those. or we're going to have a cause of action for anyone and everyone who has taken these things for the next 30 years.
So we're talking to Missouri Senator Nick Schroer. I saw where the attorney general announced that he was going to rewrite the rules on and term some of this stuff as experimental. Now, it hasn't taken effect yet. Is that something that would be unnecessary if you guys get this bill passed?
No, I think we still need to pass this bill. I think this is one of the most important bills that we're dealing with down here. It is a caucus priority for the Republicans, regardless of what the attorney general is doing. And there is some debate. There are certain things that the attorney general can step in and say, look, I'm advocating for the people of Missouri. I have standing, and I'm going to sue you based upon the laws of this state. And I think this is one of them. When we look at the consumer protection statutes within the state of Missouri, this would be in the attorney general's field house instead of Kim Gardner. And this is what a lot of people have been worried about. You know, is Kim Gardner, regardless of what we do down here in Jefferson City, if the attorney general rewrites these rules and says, yes, this is encompassed within our current statutes on experimentation on children, is Kim Gardner going to be the one to file the lawsuits? And looking at our laws right now, if the attorney general would have the ability to step in. So, you know, whatever the attorney general does, we're going to see if that stands up in court. And I think it will. I think we do have the legal standing to make sure that that's going to move forward. But we still can't hang our head on that. We've got to move forward and ensure that these types of procedures, these experimental procedures, are laid out in law, that they are going to be banned when it comes to our minor children.
Nick, you've got daughters. I've got daughters. I had a daughter who was a competitive swimmer. Somebody would have had to restrain me in the stands if she had been knocked off the podium because a boy was swimming against her. This is so insane. I can't wrap my brain around why any competitive sport would allow that. And yet this is the debate we're in the middle of in Missouri. And there are people that are opposed to the idea. I don't get that.
Well, and there's people that are making fun of Riley Gaines. Riley Gaines was the competitive collegiate swimmer that swam against a biological male. She was breaking all these records until this biological male just so happened to tie with her. And it wasn't the story of what this biological woman, Riley Gaines, was able to do. It's what this man did in her woman's sport. And now she's coming out, you know, detailing these very horrific instances where a biological male, with all the parts that a male has, staring at her as she's getting undressed and he's fully nude in a locker room. This is horrific. It's disgusting. And, you know, to me, it doesn't pass the muster of the whole common sense equation when we talk about legislation. You know, why are we standing up and making sure that women can only compete against women in women's sports? Well, you know, there's vast differences when it comes to strength, endurance, bone density. It's not the same. We've seen Fallon Fox, a biological male, Senator Ben Brown and I have talked about this because he was a competitive mixed martial arts fighter. Fallon Fox is a biological male, went through all of the different changes that a man does in their life, and then as an adult transitions, quote unquote, to a woman and breaks facial bones of a competitive fighter who just so happened to be a woman. These are things that make me feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone when it comes to Jefferson City, because to you and I and the majority of Missourians, this is something that we should have addressed a long time ago to say, look, here's clear differences. You should not be competing against women in women's sports if you're not a biological woman.
I couldn't agree more. I'm with you. I feel like I'm living in a parallel universe that we have to be having this debate at all. And, you know, here's the thing. I talked to Josh Hawley about this the last time I had him on. He wrote letters and had conversations with the people over at Washington University about slowing their roll on this transgender pediatric center. And they haven't done anything. They're not restricting anything. They're not stopping what's going on over there. They're maybe in the middle of a review, but you don't have any confidence they're going to do anything about it. So if you guys don't get this thing passed in some form, this ridiculousness of referring people from local schools, it's just going to continue.
Yeah, it will continue. And, you know, that's what we have to do. is ensure that the safety and the well-being of our kids in the state of Missouri is paramount. And these are the most impressionable kids. You know, think about when you are going through changes in your life, or me, or any of the listeners right now. I mean, there were some weird things that were going on in our bodies and in our minds. And to throw on top of that, that, you know, you've got doctors out there telling people, telling parents that if you don't accept these changes, if you don't allow for your kid to have puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones to become a man or a woman, or you know, God forbid, a surgery that's going to scar them forever. If you don't allow that, they're going to commit suicide. That was in the testimony of Jamie Reed, who just so happened to work at the WashU Clinic. That is the testimony of Luca Hine, who was a Nebraska teen, who at 16 had a double mastectomy and is now scarred for life, saying that she's never able to breastfeed her own kids. She's never able to have her biological kids. These are things that fuel the fire when it comes to the conservative movement of standing up for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When we are being misled by these people that are getting a financial incentive to lie and you know, push forward this narrative that if we don't allow for these experiments on our kids, they're going to commit suicide, that not only needs to be unlawful, it needs to be criminal. There needs to be some criminal repercussions here.
Yeah, I would agree. Nick, I tell you what, thank you for carving out some time for me right now. I know it's been a long night. Do me a favor. If anything happens in the next couple hours, give me a text and I'll keep my listeners up to date.
Absolutely.
All right. Yes. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. State Senator Nick Schroer there from District 2, the district formerly represented by Senator Bob Onder, has been up all night watching this filibuster on the floor of the Missouri Senate. And they keep thinking they're close. They're negotiating. They think they may be close to bringing this thing to an end. We'll find out. This is real time right now in Jeff City. That's what's going on. All right, quick break. We're back here in just a minute. So as we were talking to Nick Schroer there, Emily Manley, who's the Jeff City correspondent for Fox 2 and several other stations around the country, tweeted out that Senator Reeder had asked for her bill to be laid over, ending the debate and the filibuster, which means the Republicans gave up. The Senate is now in recess till 6 a.m., which is 10 minutes from now, 9 minutes from now. So I don't know what that means for the bill. Instead of PQing it, they clearly were still negotiating. If the fact that it's laid over means it can be brought back. So I don't know all of the implications of that. But apparently, as Nick was talking to me and stepped away from the floor, that was happening. So we'll keep you up to date on that as we move along here. So I got to get back for just a minute in the time that I've got left here before the top of the hour and talk a little bit about what happened in the White House press room yesterday. The reporter has been blasted, this Simon Ateba, who's a reporter for Today News Africa, who's been in the White House press corps for 8 or 9 months and has never been called on. And he's begged and he's pleaded. So yesterday, they call in the Ted Lasso crew to the White House press corps to let them make what they have to do with mental health on Ted Lasso. I've watched the show. I know the storyline. The bottom line is why those people came to the White House to talk about mental health yesterday. I have no idea. Or why that was important given what's going on in the world. But this is what happened when Simon Ateba started to ask questions, and it really got Corinne Jean-Pierre mad. Is that cut number 11, Carl?
It's both of them.
Okay. All right. Let's start with 10. Go.
We're not doing this.
From across the room. You've been discriminating against me and discriminating against some people in the briefing room. And I'm saying that this is the U.S., this is not China, this is not Russia. This is not Russia.
Okay.
What you are doing, you are making a mockery of the First Amendment.
This is not China. This is not Russia. You're making a mockery of the First Amendment. The guy couldn't be more right. And instead of standing up for him, his fellow reporters started attacking him Go to cut 11, please.
You can't keep discriminating against some people in the briefing room because you don't like them. You don't like them.
So you have a choice. No, you have a choice. You have a choice.
A number of people in the briefing room, and I'm saying that that's not right. This is not China. This is not Russia. This is the United States. This is the White House. It's been 7 months. I sent you
service. You're the rest of us are here too, pal.
It's been 7 months. You guys have not done anything for me.
If you have grievances, you should bring them to her later.
I have done that. I have done that. All my emails have been ignored.
And the press corps is tired of dealing with this.
It isn't just about
the press corps is tired of dealing with this. Did you hear that nonsense? This guy's been going on for, he's been trying for months. He's done everything he was supposed to do. He went on Tucker last night because he's so angry at what they've done to him and his response. I mean, I stand up for the guy. I've talked to Chanel Rione about how bad it is in the press corps. If they don't like you, they won't call on you. And the other members of the liberal press corps are perfectly fine with that. Listen to what he said to Tucker. I thought this was funny. Listen.
You know, the First Amendment protects the freedom of speech, the press, and assembly, and the right to petition your government to seek redress. And that First Amendment says that I have the right to ask questions, to do my job, and the press secretary doesn't need to like me, date me, marry me, have two black children with me. She doesn't need all that. She doesn't even need to like my accent, doesn't need to like what I look like, where I come from. They look down on me. They don't respect this, the First Amendment. And so what has been happening in the White House is, in the past 7 months, I've done all the right things. I've not been called on. I've gone to her office to seek a meeting. She said that she will meet with me next year. I've sent questions about the Nigerian election, about, you know, the problems, challenges in Africa. And they've not called on me, even as the vice president is going to Africa.
So he represents the African newspaper. Even when they announced the vice president was going to Africa, they wouldn't call on him to ask a question. And he's alleging racism against them. He's like, they call on Jim Acosta. They like Jim Acosta. They won't call on me. What is going on in the White House press corps? And why was Ted Lasso there yesterday? I don't understand that. These are things I don't understand. Coming up, we'll talk to Ashley Hayek from America First Policy Institute on the Parents' Bill of Rights. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.